Recorded Books and RB Digital present Lethal Passage by Eric Larson. Narrated by Richard Poe. Chapter 1. Introduction. On a bitter cold December morning, a 16-year-old boy walked into the Atlantic Shores Christian School in Virginia Beach, Virginia, with a semi-automatic handgun and several hundred rounds of ammunition tucked into his backpack. His name was Nicholas Elliott. By mid-morning, a 41-year-old teacher had been shot dead, and another teacher, struck by 2 9-millimeter bullets fired at point-blank range, was extraordinarily lucky to be alive. 2 other teachers narrowly escaped Nicholas's bullets. One found herself running a zigzag pattern through the schoolyard as Nicholas fired round after round at her back. The other, a man who tackled Nicholas and saved the lives of a roomful of crying and praying teenagers, felt a bullet breeze past his head. In a nation accustomed to murder in large multiples, the shootings received little out-of-state coverage. A single homicide barely rates mention beside the events at Stockton and San Ysidro, 2 names that ring of casual mass violence the way the names of great battlefields ring of valor. But the story of how that gun wound up in Nicholas's backpack, how the gun came to exist at all, constitutes a cultural detective story that tells a great deal about the roots of America's gun crisis. Nicholas, in effect, carried with him the good wishes of an industry and a culture whose institutions and mores have helped make the things he did that morning so commonplace in America. Nicholas carried a gun, the Cobra M119, that by any reasonable standard should never have become a mass consumer product. He acquired the gun from a federally licensed dealer, using a means that puts thousands of guns into the hands of illegal users each year, yet that existing federal gun trade regulations do much to encourage. This dealer was a good dealer, yet sold numerous weapons to traffickers and killers, raising a fundamental question of whether the costs imposed on the rest of us, even by supposedly honest dealers, are simply too high for society to bear. Moreover, Nicholas carried with him a cultural bloodlust, fed by marketers and their close allies in the gun press, who routinely play to America's homicide fantasy and stoke our widespread belief in the gun as a problem solver. None of this, of course, absolves Nicholas of his own responsibility for what occurred at Atlantic Shores, nor does it absolve society at large of its responsibility for the mass disenfranchisement of America's underclass, in particular young black men. Clearly, individual responsibility and socioeconomic tension are the tectonic plates that shape crime. As one gun buff proposed to me, half in jest, the way to reduce crime is to buy back guns not with cash, as many cities have tried, but with jobs. What follows, however, is not so much the story of Nicholas Elliott, but rather of his gun and its travels. I set out to trace his weapon from the moment its design was conceived to its use at Atlantic Shores, as a way to explore how guns migrate from the so-called legitimate gun distribution network to the hands of killers, robbers, and inner-city gangsters. Every gun used in crime starts out in that network, but somewhere along the way gets diverted. But where and how? These questions get lost amid the daily reports of shootings and the numbing tallies of lives lost each year. Pick up a copy of a major newspaper and you see story after story about gunshot death and injury. But you rarely read where the gun came from or how it was acquired. The absence is understandable. Although television cop shows would have us believe otherwise, it takes a lot of effort for the police and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms to trace the origins of a gun, largely because of obstacles deliberately inserted into the process by federal law. When a crime has just occurred, that is, when the news is fresh and most marketable, no one can know for sure exactly how the gun reached the shooter. The shooter himself may not know how many others handled the gun before it came into his possession. Some guns simply cannot be traced. By the time the police do learn where and how a gun originated, the shooting is already old news. Yet by tracing the migration of guns, one comes
Sample complete. Ready to continue?